Yeah, it's been a long time since I last recorded an episode, and I think all of my listeners know that I'm studying really hard so that I can get licensed by the Israeli Ministry of Tourism to be a tour guide in all of historic Palestine. And the exam date is now set for the 28th of December, so I know what I'm working towards. I will try to record some episodes in the coming time, probably mostly historical episodes, because that really also helps me doing some research and studying several important topics. But in the meantime, past summer, I have also been working on a trilogy for Pax Palestine podcast. Pax for Peace is an organization in the Netherlands that I have made podcast episodes for them before. And this time they asked me to do 3 episodes about their Civil Society for Dignity project that they do with local partners in Palestine. I decided to also upload them here so that you can listen to them. And I hope that you will enjoy this trilogy. You are listening to the Pax Palestine podcast, a podcast that features interviews with some of the local Palestinian partners of Pax, a peace organization based in the Netherlands. Pax works together with committed citizens and partners to protect civilians against acts of war, to end armed violence, and to build a just peace. In Palestine, Pax supports local partners in building resilient communities, promoting human security and equality in the political, cultural, and social domain, and in fighting the injustices resulting from the protracted occupation. My name is Crystal, and I'm your host. I am a Dutch citizen living in Palestine with my Palestinian husband and 2 children. Besides running a cafe and a bar in Bethlehem, I produce a weekly podcast called Stories from Palestine. For Pax, I produced this special trilogy of interviews with the local partners that Pax supports. Part 2 of the trilogy about the Civil Society for Dignity project in Palestine. This project is implemented by 3 Palestinian organizations, MEND, PCR, and PCPD, and supported by Pax. In this episode, you can hear an introduction to the project itself and the experiences of some of the participants. In the previous podcast episode, we talked to George Rishmawi, who explained us a little bit more about the Palestinian political landscape and the civil society in Palestine. And we talked about how important it is to bridge the gap between the two. Now, there is a project called Civil Society for Dignity, and the goal of that project is just to do that. And I'm sitting here with Muna to talk a bit more about this project. Muna, before we start, can you introduce yourself and your role in this organization?
My name is Muna Touma Rishmawi. I'm a project manager for the Civil Society for Dignity project, which started in 2020 and will be finished in 2023. The project is funded by the EU. There are 4 partners who are working for the implementation of this project, which are the PCR, the Palestinian Center for Rapprochement Between People, the organization that I work with actually, and PCR is taking the leading role in the project, following up with all the local community and local authorities we work with. The other organization is the PCPD, the Palestinian Center for Peace and Democracy, located in Ramallah, who have very wide network with the local community and very good past experience working with different youth groups and organizations and local authorities. Actually, PCR and PCPD had a very long history and a very good experience working with the civil society organizations and local authorities and bridging the gap between the citizens and local authorities in other previous projects. Another partner is MEND, which is the Middle East Center for Nonviolence and Democracy, located in East Jerusalem. And of course, our fourth partner is PAX, PAX for Peace from Netherlands. And this is a partnership which we are really proud of.
Thank you very much for the introduction. So can you describe to us what is the aim of this project, Civil Society for Dignity? What is the aim? What is the objective? And where do you work? Where do you implement it?
The main objective or the main target for the Civil Society for Dignity project is to bridging the gap between the civil society organizations and citizens and the local authority, with the main focus on enhancing the role of civil society organizations, as the role of civil society and grassroots organization is to link the citizens, youth and women with the local authorities. So their role has to be enhanced and empowered in order to make a difference in the decision-making process, reaching to a good governance.
That's a very important goal to achieve, but how do you do that? How do you get more youth, more women, more people in the civil society to get involved with the local government? What is the practical things that you do and that you implement through this project?
Actually, when the project started, there was a recruitment for youth groups asking them who would like to participate in the project and follow up on the 3 years of the project to take major role, let's say, in all the activities that will be implemented later. A group of youth has been chosen as a first step, following up with also the CSOs who work in all targeted locations in the project. Different kinds of trainings has been given to those youth and CSOs about social accountability, about gender equality. Then when this youth group was able to understand the idea of the project and the idea of social accountability tools and good governance, they made a training to other peers to spread the information for other youth in their communities. Also, in the beginning of the project, 24 town hall meetings has been done, gathering all the CSOs, grassroots movements, and youth who are interested in the project idea and want to continue working with us in this project to achieving the goal of the project. In addition, that there was roundtables, also 24 roundtables. I'm talking the number 24 because the project locations are 24 locations along the West Bank and East Jerusalem. So the roundtables was very important tool and issue to gather people together, discuss about different issues and obstacles facing women and youth and their participation in the decision-making process and other issues that they address in their communities, as we are working mainly in marginalized communities in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. Actually, also 4 researches has been done from experts done by PACS about the local NGOs taking part in setting up strategic planning process for local authorities and gender responsive budgeting and the participation of youth and women in the decision-making process. Those researches was very helpful for people to know exactly to address their needs and setting up recommendations for a later stage of intervention. Also, of course, we did another youth group has been established, taking trainings about participatory videos, which was very important for youth, giving them the capacity to make short videos that address their needs, their social needs, political needs, other issues, and to publish those videos in meetings also around the West Bank in the targeted locations we work with. Actually, 12 participatory videos has been established and published in 32 different areas with all the local community and CSOs participation. We are now also working on the implementation of social accountability tools. Youth and CSOs who took the trainings about social accountability tools are now implementing those tools with the local authorities in the 8 governorates that we work with. Actually, we chose 2 tools to work on in this project, which is the multi-stakeholder discussion and the hearing sessions with the local authorities.
I'm very interested in that last thing you said. Once the youth, the women who came together and discussed certain issues that are relevant for them, then when they go to the local authorities, how do they respond to that? Are they willing to listen and are they willing to maybe implement some of the suggestions that are given? Or is the gap very hard to bridge?
No, actually, we can see the difference about the relation between those CSOs, youth, and the local authorities from all the meetings and multi-stakeholder discussions that has been implemented until now. But there is also 3 months for the project to finish, which we are hoping to really have an impact in bridging this gap between the CSOs and the local authorities. We can see until now, we did 8 multi-stakeholder discussions until now. It was the first session, which was really good, where the local authorities attended the meetings and they put plans together with the CSOs to make changes in their towns or villages to change some things to have better services for citizens, in which the discussion was focused on some of the services that the local authorities does not provide and they need a better change. So until now, the local authorities are responsive.
Can you give 1 or 2 very concrete examples of what came out of those meetings? What are the things that are really important for youth and women in Palestine that they want to change? What were some of the topics that came up in most of the meetings?
Yeah, actually, the most common issue is the streets infrastructure. When they open it, for example, in different areas, this was discussed. When they open a street, it takes a long time, few months to finish, and people doesn't understand what is the reason behind that. So when they sit with the local authority, yeah, they explain it's because this, maybe other problems. Not all the time the local authority or the municipality is responsible, is a direct response. Sometimes there are other infrastructure cooperations or something like this. So it's important for the citizens to hear directly and know the reasons when they sit together. They will understand more what are the reason behind this problems and get also the local authority accountable and responsible for any delay in services when they hear directly from the citizens.
Yeah, I guess it's 2 ways. You need to communicate towards the local community and the local authorities, but they also have to communicate back to the citizens on how they are working and why things are taking a long time. Because that's very often true that we only can understand the other side if we communicate about it.
Another issue that appeared in all the discussions actually is keeping the towns clean and discussing about how can citizens and the local authorities work together hand in hand to keep their towns clean, as there is a real problem in this issue in Palestine. And maybe new regulations have to be applied for citizens in order to keep the areas clean.
I can notice when I go around the different towns in Palestine that garbage collection sometimes is problematic. And also a lot of people still keep throwing things in the street. So it should be a policy that comes from the top to teach people on how to deal with that. And if you don't find anywhere trash bins where you can put your trash, then it's also hard. So you start just throwing it where everybody throws it. So yes, that's definitely a very important topic. And I hope that they can find solutions for that. And how are you able to support the civil society in strengthening them and in getting more of a say in the society?
Actually, all project activities are aiming towards empowering the CSO's role in the society. For example, when we make any hearing session or multi-stakeholder discussion or in the roundtables, any activities in any targeted location of the project, the CSOs that we work with are responsible in terms of invitations for the local community, inviting people, responsible for the hospitality and the hall rent. They bring the citizens in their place. Also, throughout this project, there was what we call a third-party support, in which we help 8 different CSOs in 8 different locations who were active in their communities and have different ideas related to the project objectives. To help them, it was like a financial support for them to make different trainings or campaigns with different youth and women on different topics to enhance their role in their society. It was an important tool for giving them a better role in their societies.
So you are now towards the end of the project, a few more months to go. How do you feel personally about it? I mean, when you started it, you had no idea where it was gonna end up. But if you look back and if you look at what has been achieved so far, how do you feel about this project, Civil Society for Dignity?
Actually, in the beginning of any project, there were some concerns, of course, if this project will succeed, if people will respond to the project idea, if the local authorities will respond. You look at the obstacles that may face you. But actually, when work started on the ground, people was really motivated for the idea of this project. I think that this project gained a lot of success in the communities we work with. When we started the project, we worked with around 20 to 25 civil society organizations. Now, by the end of the project, we are targeting more than 35 civil society organizations and grassroots organizations who are always ready to attend the meetings, active and responsive with all project activities. Actually, we hope, all the partner organizations, that working with those CSOs, that we build a very good relation based on trust in this project and with the different youth group we worked with, will continue in the coming future and in other projects, hopefully.
Thank you very much, Mona, for your introduction to the Civil Society for Dignity project. And then now we're going to listen to one of the young participants who participated in one of the projects to see what did she learn from it. After we've been talking to experts about this project, we would now like to ask Asil, who was a participant in one of the trainings, to see what did she learn and what did she take away from this experience. But before we do that, Asil, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about who you are, what did you study, where do you live, so on?
My name is Asil Abu Mohammed. I'm from Bethlehem, the city. I learned press and media on Al Ahliya University, and I'm 22 years old, and that's it.
And how did you know about this project?
I know about this project by one of my friends. She told me about this, and I said, yes, okay, I will involved in that.
And where did you do the project? Was it here in Bethlehem?
No, it's not in Bethlehem. It was in Ramallah.
And who participated in it? Where did people come from?
Boys and girls come from Palestine, everywhere. So that make it so comfortable and exciting to know about the other cultures and meeting new people.
Do you feel there is a big difference between Palestinians from, for example, Jenin and Nablus or Bethlehem or Hebron?
Yeah, there are a lot of difference, really. But that's amazing. That's funny.
Do you have a lot of chance to meet people from different parts of Palestine? Or is it difficult here to move in the West Bank because of all the checkpoints to go to other places?
Really, it's hard to move between the checkpoints in Palestine. But when I have a chance like this one, I will never say no. It's a new challenge for us and for me, like a woman, as a girl. In Palestine, this new challenges.
And when you went to Ramallah and you met all these people, what did you do there?
First, we meet each other. We know each other good. And we sit in groups. They sit us in groups. And we put plans. And we work on these plans. Some of us write it. Some of us drew it. And the others are getting in the streets and work on it. Yeah.
Can you give me one example of what you discussed, one topic that was important in the group?
In the groups, we discuss a lot of things like social accountability tools and gender equality and local governments. There's a lot of topics.
Yeah. And after you had discussed all the topics and you know what you would like to change in the society, what did you do? Did you go to municipalities to talk to them about what you as the youth would like to change? Or how can you communicate what you came up with within the group to the outside world?
That was the plan, to go to the governments and talk to them, let them know about our workshop. And some of us, as I told you, one of the groups go to the governments and talk to them. They show them our plan. Mm. We wanted to improve the government. Mm. And that really what we want. And let the women's work on it.
I guess it's an important topic for you as a woman, that you would like, yes, to have more say in what is going on, because it seems that right now the majority of the Palestinians in governments and municipalities are men.
Yeah, some of them men, so we want a woman also work.
Let's say that if you had more influence in the local government, what would you change for women?
There's a lot of things, really. But one of them, to let women lead. Yeah. Let them to work in far places. Like me, a girl, I have to work in Ramallah. And it's so far from Bethlehem. I should sleep there. So we had to face a lot of problems. Like my parents didn't want to allow me to sleep there. They scared about me because I'm a girl. So that's one of things.
If you had a choice of whatever you want to work, what would be your dream job?
Before the dream job, I hope to leave this country.
Oh!
Not because of things, no. But just to live my life, to work on myself.
So that means that what you are really missing is freedom. So if you could change anything in Palestine, it would be...
Really? One of those freedoms, I hope to visit Jerusalem, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. And I can't. Because I'm Palestinian. We had to go to checkpoints and make a paper to go to Jerusalem. So it's real difficult and hard.
And Jerusalem is only 6 kilometers away.
Yes.
It's 20 minutes by bus.
Yes, I can see Jerusalem on my windows. But I can't go there.
No.
Yeah.
So there are some really big changes that have to be made within Palestine, yes, within the political context. Yes. And this project is partially to really push the civil society to get involved with local government and your participation in that project. What did it do for you? Like, how did it change you after you participated in this? What do you feel different now?
It changed me a lot. They make me know another cultures from Palestine, meet people, as I told you before, and learn me how to respect time, yeah, and how to think, and how to share the others my thoughts, and to stand and speak, and the commitment also.
That's really great, Asil. I really hope for you that you will in your future be able to use the skills that you learned and that you will have a great future, whether it's in Palestine or abroad. But I wish you all the best and freedom.
Thank you, Chris. Nice to meet you, Allah.
We're sitting here at Siraj Center in Beit Sahur, and I'm here with Yara. And Yara, you did a research to see what is the effect of the Civil Society for Dignity project and how meaningful is it that people are participating in that. Before we ask you more about the outcome of that research, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, Christelle. Good morning, and thank you for having me here with you today. My name is Yara. I'm originally from Beit Jala, a city near Bethlehem, and I'm currently living in Jerusalem in Beit Safafa. I'm originally a nurse, and I've continued my higher studies in sexual and reproductive health and rights in Edinburgh, the United Kingdom. I've worked in many international NGOs, and currently I'm working at Care International as a sexual and reproductive health project manager. I'm very much interested in the field of research related to any woman-related topics and youth and all of that. I conducted this research with a colleague. It was very interesting and we had so much fun. We met so many new people. We went to so many locations throughout the West Bank, the North, the Central and the South of West Bank. It was really good experience.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about what was it that you were asked to research and how did you go about it? How did you carry out this research?
The main topic of our research was meaningful participation of women and youth in local governance. We shed a light on the importance of participation of women and youth in local governance. We also addressed the obstacles embedding increasement of participation of women and youth in the Palestinian local governance. And also we gave feedback to the project partners on the implementation of the activities based on the recommendations and based on the responses of beneficiaries that we met. The research has been designed into two parts. We relied on literature surrounding the topic in different articles, documents, database. The second part was an empirical qualitative study. So we made so many different interviews and focus group discussions with women and youth all over the West Bank. Since the research was a bit politically and culturally sensitive research and topic, ethical considerations were taken into consideration. So ethical approval from all participants was granted and they had the right to withdraw anytime and the participation was 100% voluntarily.
Yeah, yes. That's important. Yeah. And what were your findings when you did this research? To which recommendations did that lead eventually?
Findings were addressed under many key themes, which had many different key sub-themes underneath them. But mainly they focused on advocacy, provision of services, accountability, social media, of course, capacity building for both women and youth, budgeting and fund, volunteerism, opportunities, and mainly gender and gender-based violence. The research team found that there are still milestones that needs to be taken into consideration in order to increase youth and women participation in local governance. Also, although many different CBOs and CSOs in Palestine have taken major steps in encouraging a participation of women and youth in local governance, there are still low percentages of women and youth in management positions in the Palestinian local governance. And finally, women and youth living in very marginalized areas are still facing the masculine cultural norms and gender roles and all of that. Yeah, so those were the main findings.
That means that you will probably have done some recommendations in order how to improve that. We'll talk about that. But maybe we should start seeing what were some of the successes, or do you have a success story where you say that this project really helped some of the youth or the women to participate more in the politics?
The successes were not very much mentioned as much as the challenges, but I can recall one success story. When we met some women youth from the north of the West Bank, they were members of the youth council. And she said that I've learned a lot. We managed to be a very active members in our society. And that was because of our family support. When our family supports us, we can do that. When I have a support from my mother and my father and my siblings, I can be whoever I am and I can do whatever I want to do.
So that would be one of the recommendations, is not to only work with the youth and the women, but to actually work with all the society that they need to support when people are trying to stand up for their own benefits. So yeah, what were some of the other recommendations?
We had so many recommendations for the research, but I can recall some of them. First, women and youth meaningful participation in local governance should be put on the national agenda of the country. The governments should demonstrate commitment to prioritizing the initiatives regarding this topic. Second, the Ministry of Education, with some work with the Ministry of Social Affairs, should take systemic steps in including this topic in both school curriculums and university syllabus. We need to raise awareness on the stigma and cultural beliefs regarding these topics by doing so many community-based awareness-raising activities targeted on both individual and community levels. We need to work on establishing financial policies and having partnerships with like-minded international and local organizations who are very much interested in such topics. We also need to strengthen the capacity of institutions, especially the local institutions, to prosecute cases of violence against women and youth. And finally, we need to work on creating economic opportunities and social cultural empowerment for women and youth in Palestine, which would build their resilience.
And these recommendations, they went to the different participating organizations. Is that something that can also be forwarded to some of the governmental organizations?
Yeah, of course, we can easily do that. Whenever you have a research, you have recommendations, we can, of course, with the approval from the project partners, we can use this information and share it with related governmental organizations that are interested in this kind of topic.
Because eventually, if we want to see a change, then it needs to go from the civil society movement, it needs to go to the place where the government makes the decisions and changes can be made. Do you have an example of what interviewees mentioned regarding challenges when they are trying to participate?
We had so many challenges when they mentioned during our work in the research. First of them is the political system constraints and the movement restrictions and access to services and all of that, especially for women and youth. Second, cultural context where women are seen as inferior to men and they don't have equal rights as men here in Palestine. Of course, gender norms and role, where women are closely tied to their reproductive and household activities only, and they're not accepted to be part in the political life or in the economic life or even in social life. Of course, one of the main challenges mentioned many times was gender-based violence and the violence against women, violence against youth, and all of that. Of course, the economic status, especially for people who are residing in marginalized and rural areas of Palestine. Also, loss of privacy, loss of decision-making, lack of support of trainings that focus on self-resilience, self-confidence, lack of opportunities for youth, and all of that.
Did you feel that the interviewees, that it changed something in their personal life or in their environment, in their society where they live, that they had the ability and the opportunity to take part in this project or in these trainings?
Yeah, well, they've taken a big part in these trainings because it was actually directed to the youth level, let's say, or the community-based level. So, yeah, we felt that there were some success stories, there were some answers that, yeah, I participated in that activity, I feel better, I've shared my experiences with my family, and they were like, yeah, that's perfect, and all of that. So, yeah.
The outcome of this research, you also had to present this, right, to some of the NGOs that they carry out this project, and to others. Who did you present it to, and what was the response of people to this research?
Well, we presented it to the municipalities and women CBOs in different locations in the West Bank, the north, the central, and the south of the West Bank. The staff of the municipalities, women and men from the local community, they all presented. And they were happy with the research we did, although they kept mentioning the challenges that we have for the topic, and that it's a very important topic and we need more and more research on that. So they recommended that we continue working on this topic and we continue doing studies and research on this topic and any related topics that are beneficial for the Palestinian society.
Thank you very much, Yara. That was really eye-opening for us to understand how this project really was partially successful and partially gives recommendations for how to continue and how to work on this very important aspect of having the civil society in Palestine really interacting more with the government. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Christelle and everyone, and good luck.
And next episode, you can learn more about an important training that is part of the project Civil Society for Dignity, the media training. Thank you for listening to Pax Palestine podcast. If you want to know more about the work of Pax, you can visit their website paxforpeace.nl. Or click the link in the show notes of this podcast. My name is Crystal, and you can find my weekly podcast, Stories from Palestine, on your favorite podcast player or on the website storiesfrompalestine.info.